So we're holding in Yefezkel Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. So in the previous psukim, we learned about the two large lashachos, the two large chambers that you have over there next to the heichal. So on the west side of the chotzer achitzoina, you have the chotzer achitzoina. It corresponds to the Ezras Noshim of the second Beis Hamikdash. In the third Beis Hamikdash, it surrounds the Ezras Yisrael, and the heichal is located inside it. Unlike in the second Beis Hamikdash, where you have the heichal is inside the Ezras Anoshim. He was inside the Ezras Noshim, and only the front of it faces towards the Ezras Anoshim. So we learned that next to it, you have these two big chambers over there, each 50 by 100 amos, where he's going to explain in the following few psukim, he's going to explain that they, and also the other two chambers that we're going to talk about, are all meant as places for the Kohenim to be able to eat Kodshe Kodshim. Given you have to eat Kodshe Kodshim inside the Azorah, inside the Ezras Anoshim, then these are meant as an extension here. When you get down to it, I mean, the whole Ezras Anoshim in the third Beis HaMikdash is fairly small. It's only 100 by 100 amos, as compared to the one in the second Beis HaMikdash was 135 by 187. So that may be, Balapatish, why you need these chambers as extra space for them to be able to eat. But in addition, I mean, he's going to say in the Psukim that this way they don't mingle with the people, and this way there's not confusion about who can eat what. So now, Pasuk Tes in Perek Mem Beis, he continues, Umitachas ha-lashochis ha-eva, underneath these lashochis. Now, Rashi says underneath, there's two possibilities. It doesn't mean underneath literally as in the sense of underground. So in other words, according to that way of understanding it, there are no two lashochis on the east. The two that are shown toward the bottom of the diagram over there wouldn't exist. And it just means under the two that are at the top of the diagram toward the west, you have a part that's above ground. We learned before there's three stories above ground. And in addition, there's also below ground. There's more stories of it. But then Rashi says the other possibility is that it means further down the mountain, since the Har HaBayis slopes up from east to west, which is why you have steps. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you had steps going up from the Har HaBayis to the Chayil, and from the Chayil to the Ezras Noshim, and from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Anoshim, and then from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Kohenim, and up to the Heichal. So here in a similar vein, you're going to have it slopes upward to the Heichal. So in that case, then, towards the east can be described as down, because it's further downhill. So you have those two possibilities. Anyway, Hamevi Mehakodim, as you're coming from the east, Bevoye Lahena, when you come to them, Mehachotzer Achitzoina, from the outer Chotzer, then you're going to find them. So again, either it means when you walk into the eastern gate of the Chotzer Achitzoina, which is at the bottom of the diagram over there, then you'll see these two Lashochas to your sides. Or it means that as you go further from east to west in the Chotzer Achitzoina, then you'll see the two big chambers that are in the west next to the Heichal, and underneath them, underground, underneath them are more Lashochas. So he continues, Pasuk Yud, Beroichav Geder HaChotzer, it's in the width of the fence, meaning the wall of the Chotzer. Derech HaKodim, when you go by way of the east, meaning Rashi describes when you come in through the eastern gate of the Chotzer Achitzoina, and then you turn right to go to the north, which, by the way, you have in Masechta Midas, it mentions that Kol Nichnosin, that most people who come into the Har HaBayis, they would do that. They'd come in, and there it mentions they'd come in through the south, but then they'd turn to their right. So there they were coming in through the south, and they turned to the east, except the Mishnah mentions over there somebody who had something sad happen to him, an oval or somebody in Nidui, would go to the opposite direction, and then people would realize that and they would ask him. So here in a similar vein, you're coming in through the eastern gate, you're turning to the right, then it means you're heading towards the north. So when you do that, then you find in front of Alpnei Gedra Beroichav Gedra Chotzer, meaning at the width in front of the wall of the Chotzer, meaning in front of the eastern wall of the Chotzer Apnimis, Derech HaKodim, towards the east, Alpnei Gizra, in front of the Gizra, which means literally Gizra means a fortress, so it means the Heichal proper, the Alpnei Binyan, and in front of the Binyan, which is the outbuildings around the Heichal, the Toyim in particular, which are much lower than the main building of the Heichal, you find there, Lashochas, you'll find over there these chambers. So again, either it means you'll find them underground under the ones that were described in the previous psukim, or it means you'll find a whole another set of chambers on the east side, but they're facing, you're standing over there in the Chatzar HaChitzona, facing towards the Heichal and facing towards all of that, and you see these Lashachas on either side of you. Then he continues, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the derech lifnehem, then there's a path in front of them. You have there's a path in front of them to get to them. So there's the same 50 amma space between them and the edge of the Chatzar HaChitzona as you had by the other ones. So the same way as we learned before, from the edge of those lashachas until the edge of the Chatzar HaChitzona on that side is a 50 amma space. The same way, and with the same way with these new lashachos that we're talking about over here, you have the same 50 amma space. Kemare halashachos at shederach atzafen, like the chambers that you have on the north that we described before. The first chamber that Yechezkel described was the one on the northwest corner of the Azara, the one next to the Heichel to the right of it on the diagram. Just like the length of those is the length of these, and just like the width of those is the width of these, they're all 100 by 50 amas. And they have the same kinds of doors, the same ways of going out, and the same rules, and the same doorways. So they look exactly the same. With the exception, it seems, at least the way they draw it here in the diagram, which is based on a diagram from the Mitzvot David, it seems these new ones that we're talking about on the east, if they actually existed, they don't have doorways going out into the Chatzar HaChitzona in the middle. You have those doorways going out, so you have the same kind of way as you have doorways going here from the northwestern one going towards the north and from the southwestern one going out to the south. But here you also have ones that go towards the Heifel. And the idea was, like we learned last time, the idea is you would walk from the Chatzar HaPnimi through this gap over here and come through this space and go into there. And all of this area over here between the Heifel and Lishka is considered an extension of the Chatzar HaPnimi. Here, apparently, you don't have that. So there's no doorways here and here. Here, the only way into these lashachas from the Chatzar HaPnimi is just through a doorway over here and over here, respectively. But other than that, they're basically the same. Same size and the same rules as far as that they're all an extension of the Chatzar HaPnimi and so forth. And so he continues, Pasuk Yud Beis, Uchotfischei halashachas ashaderach adorayim, just as you have the entrances of the lashachas that were on the south side, where also, again, you have the same way as you have the large lishka with three stories on the north side of the Heichel, the same way you have one on the south side. And the same way as by them you have Pesach Barosh Dorech, you have an opening, you have an entrance at the head of the way, meaning that you have a way of getting to them from inside the Azara, as we said before, the one amma gap. So similarly over here, you have with these ones that we're describing in the east, you also have an opening into them. And that opening is that way is derech b'fnei ha-gderes ha-gina. It's a way in front of the gderes ha-gina. Now, gderes is Moloshin goder, which we had a few times already in the psukim. Literally, goder means a fence, but often it means a wall, and that's what it means in these psukim. You have other places in Tanakh where you have the same kind of usage. For example, Ezra mentions in a tefillah, as he mentions that Hashem, you gave us goder, Yehuda of Yerushalayim, meaning that you gave us a walled city where we're safe from our enemies. So the word goder, even though it usually means a fence, it can also mean a wall. So here it means the wall. But specifically Hagina. Now Hagina, right? So Targum Yonason over here translates the words Hagderas Hagina as Duchan Levoi, the Duchan that the Levim stood on to sing and play the instruments. So in the second Beis Mikdash, it's described in the Mishnayos Midos, there was a one amma high step that ran the full width of the Azara. Then on top of that, there was a platform consisting of three steps, each half an amma tall. And then above that was the Ezra's Kohenim, so that you have a 2.5 amma. So you have a 2.5 amma difference in elevation between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Kohenim. You have a different opinion in the Mishnah over there in Midas that learns that there's only a 1.5 amma difference between them, that you don't have that one amma step. But anyway, The Rambam in Hilchos Beis Amchira writes according to that opinion that there's 2.5 amos. So here, in a similar vein, by the third Beis Hamikdash, you also have the Duchan separating the Ezras Yisrael from the Ezras Koyim. So within the Chotzer Apnimi over here, you have that line that runs the full width of it. That line is the Duchan. So the word Gederes then means, again, a wall, or in this case, it actually does mean a low fence, because the whole thing is only 2.5 amas tall. And it's Hagina, Meloshin, so Rashi explains, Meloshin Negina, Meloshin, it's where the Levim sing. A couple of the other Meforshim talk about, Mitzudas David and the Radak talk about it, that it's also, Hagina can also be Meloshin Hogun. We have a lot of times in the Gemara, the word Hogun, which means like proper or Erlach or whatever. So here it means the same thing. It's a properly built fence. It's not just some makeshift thing. Anyway, the point is that Yechezkel is telling us that the entrances to these chambers are Bifnei Hagderes Hagina. They're in front of the Duchan. You're inside the Ezras Anoshim, Ezras Koyanim / Ezras Yisrael, and you have openings into the various Lashachos from there to go into the respective Lashachos and to eat the Kodshim. And he finishes off, Derech HaKodim Bevayon, that is how you go on the east side in order to go into those Lashachos, because the Duchan itself is located towards the eastern side of the Azara. So we've learned before, actually, the Mizbeach is placed exactly in the middle of the Azara. Everybody agrees by the second Beis Hamikdash also that the Mizbeach was exactly centered on the east-west line. It was exactly halfway between the front of the Heichal and the wall of the Ezras Yisrael. In the second Beis Hamikdash, you had a space altogether from the front of the Heichal until the eastern wall of the Azara. You had a space of 76 amos. Within that, you have the Mizbeach itself is 32, so that leaves you 44 amos. So you had 22 of them between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and another 22 between the Mizbeach and the wall, which that 22 was broken up then into 11 amos for the Koyanim and 11 amos for the Yisraelim. Here in the third Beis Hamikdash, instead, the Chotzer is 100 amos. The Mizbeach again takes up 32, so that leaves you 68 amos of space. 34 amos between the front of the Ulam and the Mizbeach, another 34 from the Mizbeach until the eastern wall of the Azara, and it's split exactly in half by the Duchan, so that you have 17 amos for the Koyanim and 17 amos for the Ezras Yisrael. We mentioned before that the Malbim points out that in that way you have actually more floor space for the Ezras Yisrael in the third Beis Hamikdash than you did in the second. The second Beis Hamikdash, it was the Azara is 135 amos wide, but on the other hand, the Ezras Yisrael was only the Mokum Drisas Ragla Yisrael is only 11 amos deep. So 135 times 11 gives you less than 1,500 square amos. Here you've got 100 by 17 gives you 1,700 square amos. So you've got more room than you otherwise would have. Anyway, so that's the point. In other words, we're describing that the entrances to these eastern Lashachos are Bifnei Hagderes Hagina. They're in front of the Duchan. You're standing on the east side of the Azara, of the Ezras Anoshim, and walking into one or the other of those Lashachos on the east side. So he continues, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Eli, so now the Malach who was showing Yechezkel around says to me, Lishchos HaTzofer and Lishchos HaDorim, all of these Lashachos that we're talking about over here on the north and on the south, whether we understand that it means that there are ones above ground and below ground on each side, or whether it means that you have in the four corners, the way it's shown here in the diagram. Either way, Asher al Pnei Gizra, the ones that are next to or in front of the Gizra, which is the Heifel, all of them, Heina Lishchos HaKodesh, they are all the chambers for the, they are all the holy chambers, Asher Yochlu Shama Koyinim, Asher Krovim LaHashem, Kodshei HaKodoshim. They are the Koyanim who are close to Hashem, meaning the Koyanim who are actually going to serve in the third Beis Hamikdash. They will be eating the Kodshei Kodshim in those chambers. In other words, instead of having to eat them out in public in the Azara, they'll be able to go into those chambers and eat them there, because those chambers are considered an extension of the Ezras Anoshim, and therefore the same Kedusha that the Ezras Anoshim has, that you can eat Kodshei Kodshim over there, also apply to these four chambers. And he continues, Shom Yanichu Kodshei HaKadoshim, there they can put the meat of the Kodshei HaKadoshim, which will later on be distributed among the Koyanim. There they'll have the mincha, the chatas, and the ashem, which are all examples of kodshe kodshim. We have others. There are other korbanos that are kodshe kodshim as well that the kohenim eat. In particular, you have besides. Well, first of all, you have oila, which is kodsh kodsh kodashim. But that, of course, the kohenim don't eat. But aside from that, you have zivche shalmei tzibur, which are also kodshe kodshim, but are not explicitly listed in the pasuk over here. So therefore, the pasuk is including those as well, and Mitzvot David says as much. So kiyam mokum kodesh, because this place is holy, and therefore they're allowed to eat in there. It's not considered when you take meat into there. It's not considered that you're taking it mechutz v'kloyim, and therefore it's going to be pasuk. So he continues pasuk yudalev bevoyam akoyinim, when the koyinim come to those lashochas to eat, then they'll eat in those lashochas v'lo yetsu me'akodesh ala chotzer achitzona. This way they don't have to go out from the holy place into the Chatzar Achitzona. They won't go out into the Chatzar Achitzona through the doors over there while they're still wearing the big day kahuna, or while they're still eating the kodshe kodshe. The Shom Yanifu big day and Asher Yishor Sirahen, there in those chambers, they can also leave their clothes that they're going to serve in ki kodesh hena, because the clothes are holy, and therefore it's not appropriate to be wearing them in the Chatzar Achitzona. B'chlal, you have a discussion in Halacha. The Gemara mentions in a couple of places, are the Kohenim allowed to wear the big kahuna outside of the time of Avodah? And even, for example, are they allowed to eat them? Are they allowed to wear them while they're eating the Kodshim? The problem is, according to one man d'omer, and this is how the Rambam brings the Halacha, the belt of the Kohen head, the belt, the avnet of the Kohen head, yet contains shatnez. So therefore, so first of all, you have that problem, but also you have the question, are big kahuna nitnu lehonet, and are you allowed to have anah from them? So the actual halacha ends up being, as far as the shatnez part, that tackle, you have an issue, so they would have to take off the avnet when they're not doing the avoda. But as far as big dekuna, the halacha is nitnu lehonos behen. They are allowed to have hana from them. They are allowed to be doing things, at least things that are related to the avoda, such as in this case, eating the kodshim, which is an extension of the avoda. They're allowed to wear the big dekuna for that. But now we're saying that we don't want them afterwards going out, still wearing the big dekuna, into the chotzer achitzona, because they should leave them in these lashachos, because the clothing are kodesh, and they and the regular people shouldn't be touching them. So the love should be godim achirim. So there they will put on other clothes, the kovu ala shalom, and there they then they can come close to what belongs to the other people. In other words, Rashi points out you have a gzeira derabbanan. You have various milos in in Tumah v'Tahara, which were that were made at some point by the Chachamim. So evidently these gzeiras, or at least some of them, had already been made in Yechezkel's times, including the concept that unless a person, you have you, there's different minatora. There's no such thing as different degrees of tahara. Minatora, you either tameh or tahara. Midrabanan, you have the concept, for example, that that regular Ame or Oretz are considered Tomei Midras relative to Purushim, who are careful to eat Cholin Batara. People who eat Cholin Batara are considered Midras relative to people who are Tahar for Truma, Truma relative to Kodesh, and so on and so forth. You have various levels over there. So now, see, Chesgul is pointing out then that, like this, you don't want the Kohenim to go and be mingling with the people while they're wearing the big dekuna, and they're going to end up touching the people with their begadim, which are on a lower level of tara and midrabanan. Therefore, they and their clothes are going to become tomei from that, and that's going to create a problem. So therefore, the point is, they can use the lashachas to change out of their big dekuna and put on regular clothing. Now if they touch people who are on a lower level of tara and they become tomei, then at least the big kahuna are not becoming tomei. So that's another purpose of these lashochas, is for them to change out of the big kahuna. In the second Bais Mikdash, it mentions that there was a chamber called Lishkas Pinchas Hamalbish, which is this Pinchas was in charge of weaving the clothes of the kohenim, and of course there were a lot of kohenim, so there were a lot of outfits that had to be made. So he had a whole staff working on that. But they also had an area somewhere in the Bais Mikdash where the kohenim would change into in and out of the big kahuna, and they had the Mishnayos described, and the Rambam brings it in Hilchos Beis Abchira. They had cabinets over there labeled. They had cabinets for each one of the 24 mishmaris, and for each mishmar you had four cabinets labeled label. This one is for Avnatim, this one is for Mitznayim, this one is for McVoy's, and so forth. And when they got changed, they'd put them in those respective cabinets. And then when they were getting dressed for the Avodah, they'd take the clothes out of the respective cabinets for their Mishmar. So here, apparently, Yechezkel is saying that these Lashochas, among other things, are going to have those cabinets in them for them to put away the Big Dikahuna and then take them out of there and wear them when it's time for the Avodah. So now he continues, Pasuk Tesvav, the Chila es Midas Habayis HaPnimi. At this point, he's finished the measurements of all of the inner house, meaning by now we've gone through the Chotzer HaChitzoyna, which is the Ezras Noshim, the Chotzer HaPnimi, which is the Ezras Anoshim, and the Heichel. Now he's going to go out and finish up the measurements by measuring the Harabayis. We don't have the Harabayis in this diagram because, as he's going to go on to say, the Harabayis is tremendously larger than the Azora. In the second Beis Hamikdash, you had the Harabayis was 500 by 500 amos. The Azora, the Ezras Yisrael slash Ezras Koyanim was 187 by 135. The Ezras Noshim was another 135 by 135. So you have the Harabayis takes up more space, but it's not like completely beyond anything. You could draw a diagram where you'll have the whole Harabayis, and you can have the Azoras in it to scale. The third Beis Hamikdash, it's not really going to work because he's going to go on to say the whole Harabayis in the third Beis Hamikdash is 3,000 by 3,000 amos, whereas now he never gave in these psukim an actual measure for the size of the Ezras of the Chotzer HaChitzoyna. But based on all the details that he gave so far, that the Chotzer HaPnimi is 100 by 100, and that there's 100 amos from the gate of the Chotzer HaChitzoyna to the parallel gate for the Chotzer HaPnimi on all sides, it comes out the Chotzer HaChitzoyna is a little over 300 by 300 amos. The Tosfos Yom Tov, when he makes the calculation and draws his diagram, he has it 312 amos in one dimension and 317 in the other. The Malbim, when he makes his calculations, makes it a little bit bigger, 326 by 326 on the inside, and then including the thickness of the walls, which he says the walls are 13 amos thick, then he comes out with 352 by 352. But anyway, if the whole Harabayis is 3,000 by 3,000, means if you were to draw a whole diagram, you'd have the whole Chotzer HaChitzoyna would be like 1/100 of the entire diagram. But now he's going to describe that. So V'chila es midas habayis ha'pnimi, he finished all the measurements of the inner house, of all the chatzeiros and everything that we described. V'otzi'ani derech ha'shar sh'ponav derech ha'kodim, he took me out through the gate that faces towards the east. U'medodoi saviv saviv, and now he started measuring the whole harabayis all around. Modad ruach ha'konim b'knei amida, pasuk ha'zayin, first he measured the eastern side using the measuring stick, and it came out chamesh Meir, Chamesh Meis Konim, Viknei Amida Sabim, the Kriyuksim over here, actually, actually the next pasuk has the Kriyuksim, but Chamesh Amos, it says, but it's a mistake. It's supposed to be Meis Konim, Viknei Amida Sabim. It is 500 Konim using the Knei Amida all around. The Konim we learned at the beginning consists of six Amos. So a Konim is around, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, who makes an Amo to be a foot and a half approximately. Then it comes out, a Konim is around 9 feet. So now he's measuring that entire side is 500 konim, which therefore would come out to somewhere around 4,500 feet. To put it in terms that we Crown Heitzers might recognize, if you were to start measuring from 770, let's say, and go down, let's say, measure down Kingston Avenue, 4,500 feet or thereabouts would get you all the way to past the hospitals. So that's to give you some idea of the size of the area that we're talking about. And then he continues, Modad Ruach HaTzofen. Next, he measured the north side. And again, it was the same thing. Chamesh Meos. And here you have a Kriyuksiv where it says Amos, but we read it Meos. Konim B'Knei Amida Sabim. Again, it's 500 Konim using the measuring stick all around. Ace Ruach HaDorim Modad. Next, he measured the south side. So he didn't just go in a circle around. First, he measured the east and then the north. Then he doubles back around, and then he skips the west and goes and measures the south. Why he's doing it in that order, I don't think it says. So Chamesh Meis Konim, B'Knei Amida, and again, it was 500 Konim using the measuring stick. And finally, Sovav al Ruach Hayom, then he turned to the west side, Modad Chamesh Meis Konim, B'Knei Amida, and again, he measured 500 Konim with this measuring stick. So each side is 3,000 amos. Rashi points out, it comes out then the Harabayis of the third base of Mikdash is going to be 36 times the size, 36 times the area of the one in the second base of Mikdash. The second base of Mikdash, it was 500 amos by 500 amos. This one is going to be 500 konim by 500 konim, which is, since a kone is 6 amos, then it means each side is going to be 6 times the length, and therefore the area is going to be 36 times the size. So he finishes off. Pasuk Kaf. La arba ruchos medodoy. He measured it on all four sides. Chayim aloy saviv saviv, with a wall all around the harabais. Ora chamesh meis v'roich chamesh meis. The length of this wall is 500 amos and width is 500 amos. La havdol ben hakodesh l'chol. The purpose of that wall is to separate between the kodesh and the chol, because the harabais has a degree of kedusha relative to the rest of Yerushalayim. You have in the Mishnayos and Kalim at the beginning, when it talks about Eser Milos and kedusha, you have Eretz Yisrael is more kedusha than the rest of the world. Within Eretz Yisrael itself, Yerushalayim, Ayodah Samukof Eschoima, have a greater degree of kedusha. Yerushalayim has a greater degree of kedusha over them. And then you come to the Harabayis, where in particular you have the rule that Zovim and Nidus and other people like that with that type of truma are not allowed into the Harabayis, whereas they are allowed in the city of Yerushalayim. You have the rules that various kinds of tmeim, mitzaroyim, are sent out of all three machnas, so they have to be outside Yerushalayim altogether. Zovim and Yodas and so forth can be in Yerushalayim, but not in the Harabayis. Tmeim meis midaraisa can be anywhere up until the Azara, midirabanan, they're kept out of. And then Abanan, they're kept out of the Chayil and the Ezra's Noshim. And then you have in the Mishnayos over there, where it describes various other gradations of Kedusha that you have as you go from one place to another within the Hanabayas until you reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which of course has the ultimate level of Kedusha. So there's a wall around the Hanabayas to separate between that and the area outside of it. Because beginning from there, what you have is in the desert, you had Machna Shechina, Machna Levia, and Machna Yisrael. And correspondingly in Yerushalayim, and in the Beis Mikdash, you have Yerushalayim itself corresponds to Machna Yisrael. The Harabayas corresponds to Machna Levia. And the Azara, the Ezra's Anoshim, that is, corresponds to Machna Shechina. And then you have the different rules as far as which tmeim are and aren't allowed and which ones. By the way, you have the whole discussion as far as the present day Harabayis, where even though we say in the Mishnayos and Midas it's 500 by 500 square, you look at the area nowadays surrounded by the walls of the Harabayis, of which the Kosel is part of one of those walls, but you have the other walls as well. It's not square, and in some dimensions, and then in the north-south dimension, it's a lot more than 500 amos. So there's a good deal of discussion how that comes about. The general consensus is basically that when Hurdus renovated the second Beis Mikdash, then he added much more area to the space over there, and so you'd have the original area that had Kedusha, that had the full Kedusha, is 500 by 500. Then he added areas over there. The general assumption is he added areas in the north and the south, which don't have the full Kedusha of the Harabayis. In theory, if we knew exactly where those were, then maybe you'd be allowed to go into those areas. In practice, it's hard to know. And you have about a dozen different opinions where exactly the Harabayis and the Heichel and everything were located inside the present day Harabayis, which is why in practice we don't go in there at all. Okay, so Perek Mem Gimel, and starts out, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelecheni El Ashar. Now, after he measured around the whole Harabayis, now he brought me back into the gate, Shara Shapona Derech HaKodim, to the gate that faces towards the east. Vehine Pasuk Beis, Vehine Kvoid Elekei Yisrael Bomi Derech HaKodim. And there he sees the glory of Hashem is coming from the east. Now, earlier on in the Sefer, the first half of Sefer Yechezkel, which talks about the Churban and the Golos, he describes over there how he's seeing the Shechina progressively leaving the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, that's when he first sees the mighty, when he first sees the Merkava, is so to speak, that the Malachim are carrying the Shechina out of the Beis Hamikdash. And then he sees in the following Prakim, he describes over there, he sees the Shechina, the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah, that it left in 10 stages. First it goes, for originally the Shechina was Beina Kruvim, and then it goes on to one Kruv, and then it goes to the threshold of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then to the Ulam, and so on and so forth, until eventually it leaves through the east and goes to Harazesim, and then the Gemara finishes off that from there it went back to Shemayim. So now it's coming back from the east, from Harazesim, back through the eastern gate of the Beis Mikdash, back into the Beis Mikdash. So you have again Ikur Shechina B'Tachtonim, as it should be. Yeah, by the way, you know, you have the Nevuah and Zechariah. We read it as the Haftarah, the first day Sukkos. But Omdu Raglo Bayemahu Al Harazesim, and Hashem will stand on Harazesim, and the mountain will split. So now we have the continuation of that is that the Shekhinah is actually returning into the Beis Hamikdash. And he continues, the sound of Hashem coming in is like the sound of tremendous mighty waters. And the whole earth shone from his glory. So this is all Yechezkel was seeing in Nevuah, how this is going to happen. This is in further psukim later on in the parak. He's told to go and tell the Jewish people that this is going to happen. We should be learning and understanding the blueprint of the Beis Mikdash, as in fact we're doing now. So he's also to describe to them how he sees the Shekhinah coming back into the Beis Mikdash. Rashi, by the way, mentions someplace based on a medrash. What's this kekel maim rabim? And where does the sound of mighty water come from? It comes from Hashem himself. Why are you comparing the sound of the Shekhinah to the sound of mighty waters? But the answer is, because otherwise we would have no way of describing it in human terms. So therefore the Nevi'im are given permission to use this kind of terminology to describe, even though of course the power of Hashem is far greater than any maim rabim. Then he continues, Pasuk Gimel, Uchmare Hamare, just like the appearance of the appearance Asher Ro'isi that I had previously seen by the Maisa Merkava, Kamare Asher Ro'isi, like the appearance that I saw before B'Shachay Sase'ir, when I came to destroy the city. So earlier you have in Perek Ches and Tes of the Sefer, he tells about how he saw Hashem sending, Hashem had taken around and shown him the Avodah Zarah and the various other things that were going on in the Beis Mikdash. And then Hashem shows him how he's sending six malachim of destruction headed by Malach, with Malach Gabriel along with them to go and mark everybody in the city and mark them and mark all the Rishayim that they're going to be destroyed. So the same kind, and he describes over there how he saw the Shekhinah over there giving the instructions to Gabriel and to the Malachim. So now he's saying, when I came to destroy the city, I mean, when I came previously, when Hashem brought me there in a previous Nevuah to see how the city is going to be destroyed, that same kind of thing is now, that same kind of vision of the Shekhinah is what I'm seeing now. Umarois, and I saw visions, Kamara Asher Reisi on Nahar Kavar, like the vision that I saw by Nahar Kavar, which is the beginning of the Sefer, where he sees the Maisa Merkava for the first time. And I fell on my face out of respect for the Shekhinah. Now you have a lot of repetitions of the word mare in this pasuk. Altogether, you have and you have sometimes most of them loshen yochid. You have mar ois in plural. Altogether, if you count it up, you have nine. Kamare hamare asher roisi, kamare asher roisi, umar ois counts as two because it's plural. Kamare asher roisi. So you have nine times a loshen of roiyah. So Rashi explains, we know that only Moshe Rabbeinu saw with the Spaklawiya Me'ira, all the other Nevi'im saw with the Spaklawiya She'ena Me'ira. So therefore, they're seeing the Shekhinah only through nine screens. So therefore, Yechezkel uses nine times in this pasuk an expression of Mare, like in other words, I don't get to see the actual Osmunas Hashem Yabit, like Moshe Rabbeinu does. I see you through one screen and another screen and whatever, a total of nine then. But even that is enough for Epilaponai as he fell on his face out of respect for the Shekhinah. And he continues, Pasuk Dalet, Chavod Hashem Boil Aboyis, the glory of Hashem he sees now in this Nevuah is coming into the house, into the Heichel, Derech Shar, the part of Derech HaKadim, through the gate that faces towards the east. Now, later on in Perek Mem Dalet, he's going to do, which we're not going to learn as part of this, he's going to describe, so we talked about previously that in the Heichel you have, and it's, so you have over here, in the Heichel there are two pishpashim. You have the main gate, you have the main door of the Heichel over here with double doors over here, and then you have on either side, there's a little passageway called a pishpash to go in. In Mishnayos Tomid and in Midas, it describes the Kohen and would go in there every day to unlock the doors of the Heichel. So there's really two. There's one on this side towards the north and another one on this side towards the south. Rashi explains, based on the Mishnayos and Midas, specifically the Shekhinah is coming in through that pishbush on the south, and therefore, later on in Perek Mem Dalet, it says that pishbush is going to be permanently closed. Nobody's going to come through it because it wouldn't be respectful. The Shekhinah came through there, and therefore it wouldn't be respectful that any human being ever after that should go through that. So in the second Beis Mikdash also, even though they didn't have the same degree of the Ashuras Hashchina over there, but in the same vein, they kept that Pishbosh on the south side permanently locked, and therefore in the diagram, you see only the one on the north side. Why it is that Hashem is coming through the Pishbosh, there's an explanation that that Mephoshim say that like Hashem showed, so to speak, is showing in Vasnusa, his humility, that he doesn't have to come, he's not going to come in through the big gate, just through a little Pishbosh. It may also be Alderach, Hashem is showing, I don't need a big gate to come in, even if there's only a tiny opening available for me, Piskuli Pesach, Kehudosh HaMachat, and all that. Anyway, so now we see that the Shekhinah is actually coming in through that gate, or through that pishbosh that faces towards the east. And then he'll continue in the following psukim, which will continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, where Hashem tells him, now I'm going to be resting in the Beis Mikdash, in the third Beis Mikdash forever, and that it's not going to be like it was in the previous two Batei Mikdash. This one will stand forever, and this one, Hashem's Shekhinah, will be in forever. It should be Miyad Mamash. Which brings us to Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ula for Hey Av. It's the Yom Hilula of the Arizal. So the Arizal explains, and he says that the generation of Ikvas and Mashiach is a Gilgul of the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim. So just like in the time when they left Mitzrayim, they were Zoicha to the Ge'ula HaRishona through Moshe Rabbeinu, so also our dor of Ikvas and Mashiach will be Zoicha to the Ge'ula HaRishona through Mashiach Tzidkenu. Continuing on halachas of travel. And by the way, we were talking about, he was mentioning, by the way, about a couple of halachas that are relevant as far as when you're eating and drinking on the road in terms of benching, whatever. It's not really directly negaya to these halachas, but I think I should mention it anyway, because I've noticed it a lot of times. You have, by the way, a lot of times when people are answering amen to a bracha, they're not making sure to wait until the person has finished saying the word. Sometimes you have, chazonim will do mepade hashab. Some people will say amen in the middle of it. You also have when people are making Kiddush, so it's something to be careful about. You have to pay attention when the person actually finishes saying the word, only then you answer amen, not before that. Anyway, returning to the halachas over here of travel. Now there's a din that on Erev Shabbos you're not supposed to travel more than three parasa, so that at your destination they'll be able to prepare the Suddhas Shabbos properly. So we're generally not careful with that, because usually people prepare generously for Shabbos. Still, though, a person should at least make sure that he gets to his destination well in time for Shabbos, because unfortunately, you have a lot of times there's created chilul Shabbos by people who are late. You never know. There's always traffic jams and whatnot. So be careful about that. Then in that connection, suppose a person on Shabbos is in a hotel and he has money with it. So money is muktzah, of course, so he can't keep it in his clothing. But so he should put it someplace safe. If he has reason to be concerned that it might be stolen. So then he describes over here, I don't know if anybody does this nowadays, but whatever. Nowadays, you usually have other ways of keeping it. But what you do is, he says, you sew it into your clothes before Shabbos, and you just stay indoors, don't go out someplace where there's no Eruv. But if then you may have to be concerned also that that itself may make people realize that you have money with it. So then you're allowed to go out with it sewn into your clothes, but certainly not if it's in your pocket. So what the practical applications of that would be nowadays, I don't know. But that's the way the halacha is.